New Orleans has inspired legions of writers, William Faulkner, Tennessee Williams, John Kennedy Toole, and Anne Rice, to name the best known. Measuring up to this rich literary tradition is no easy task, but Lewis Edwards is rising to the challenge. He's found a new way to write about an old city. As part of our series this month on emerging Southern artists and the places that inspire them, NPR's Debbie Elliott has this profile of the author.
Lewis Edwards' second novel, Called In, begins like those old black-and-white crime thrillers you see on late-night television. It's the middle of the night, and the phone rings.
That's what time it was. The mythical 3 a.m. The hour of love. The hour of death. And yes, my telephone was ringing. I must admit, too, that as my procrastination here may suggest, I was afraid to answer the telephone. You see, my life, over the past month, had taken on a strange, new quality.
When journalist Aimée Dubois finally answers the phone, she hears two piercing gunshots, and she realizes just how deep she's involved in what she thought was an anonymous crime. Her story unfolds in a series of flashbacks she tells her best friend, what led her to investigate the murder of another young black man in New Orleans, how she fell in love with a small-time drug dealer named Strip, who's helping her find the killer, and how she now fears that he's been murdered. The book is full of ambiguity, just like its title. N stands for many things, an initial on a pendant, or the noir style in which the story is told. Edwards, who grew up in southwest Louisiana, says he wrote N in reaction to the early 90s crime wave in New Orleans.
You know, you couldn't turn on the television without another death of a young black man, or you couldn't pick up the paper, and it was just a bombardment of death. And so I did feel that I needed to somehow sort through that for myself.
Lewis Edwards is a tall, elegant, dark-skinned man nearing 40 with a smooth head and a broad, inviting smile. He lives in a tidy two-story townhouse on Burgundy Street in the heart of what's known as the Lower Quarter, the quieter residential side of New Orleans' famous French Quarter. Here, brightly colored historic homes have wrought iron balconies lush with tropical greenery, and gas-lit lanterns hang above the doorways.
This house is 1830s to 1850s, and it was actually owned by a free woman of color.
Edwards' fascination with history is reflected everywhere you look in his home. In his office, there's an old watercolor of Beauvoir, Jefferson Davis's home on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Purposely hanging above it is a campaign leaflet touting the Union ticket of Lincoln and Johnson.
It's not overstated, it's just you don't even notice this really, but it speaks to just the duality, and there are many dualities that we have here in America.
Duality is at play in his work as well. N is no exception. It's more than a noir mystery. For its main character, Aimée Dubois, it's an exploration of the layers of meaning in relationships, in identity, in language.
Her whole history of wanting to solve mysteries grows out of her learning from someone else the meaning of a word.
Like Edwards, Aimée lives in the French Quarter, but grew up 3 hours to the west in Lake Charles with French-speaking grandparents.
And a grandmother who called very lovingly her grandchildren Neg, T-Neg, which can translate as nigger, among other things. And Aimée makes the mistake of calling a young white boy that she's babysitting T-Neg. And the child's mother overhears it, understands French, literally at least, and takes exception. And so we're off, at least Aimée is, to find out who she is.
N captures the lazy rhythm of the French Quarter. But ultimately, Aimée is forced to leave the comfort zone of her French Quarter neighborhood to encounter another, harsher side of New Orleans. It's called Central City, a mostly African-American neighborhood anchored by three large housing projects. In addition, long, narrow duplexes known as shotgun doubles line the pothole-marked streets across from a covered basketball court that seems to be an evening gathering place. Kids ride around on bikes, and men collect in little circles, sipping cold beverages from brown paper bags.
On the corner there, there's a bar room that's the site of an important scene here for Aimée. And before it's over, she's going to be questioning whether or not Strip, the man with whom she's falling in love, is a murderer.
The sound frightened me, and I tripped on the sidewalk, my cheek pressed against the concrete. I heard another shot. Pow! The shots had come from behind me. The dark alley, that dead end. I got up, slowly turned around, and I faced it. The most hopeless thing in the world, a dead-end street. I heard the sound of footsteps running out of the darkness. He was coming out, whoever he was, this person, this murderer, toward me into the light. It was Strip. He was holding his gun.
You must remember, I was writing a book that was in the style of noir, but I wanted to explore all the meanings of that word, so I needed to get deeper into the blackness of things, all kinds of things, including people. So I needed to come here, because this is really authentically black. I mean, it's really real. You feel it as you stand here.
Lewis put a gloss on this city that no one ever has.
Susan Larson is the book editor for the New Orleans Times-Picayune.
He took that really self-conscious conceit of noir film, of noir stories, and threw them over this city like a wonderful net and captured something completely different.
But Larson says N, with its wordplay and soul-searching, acknowledges its place as a New Orleans novel.
In Louisiana, we're very conscious of that. In New Orleans particularly, you walk down these streets and it's like walking through the pages of a novel. And in N particularly, Lewis makes a very self-conscious and wonderful nod to almost everybody who's ever been a literary presence in New Orleans, from Tennessee Williams to Walker Percy. He's got that awareness of himself as part of a tradition.
That awareness dates back to high school, when one of the first things Edwards wrote was a parody of Williams' The Glass Menagerie. And it's no coincidence that his character, Aimé Dubois, shares a last name with Blanche from A Streetcar Named Desire, but with the characteristic Edwards twist. Here, he reads from a section where a co-worker tells Aimé she's caught between Blanche and W.E.B. Du Bois, the leading black intellectual of the early 20th century.
He was anticipating something. Where I would wind up right now, trapped, caught, caught somewhere between him and her, W.E.B. and Blanche. I'm stuck, not stuck, floating really, drifting, because it isn't entirely unpleasant. Between the black and the white of things, between the intellectual and the emotional, the sane and the insane, the real and the fictional.
Edwards really doesn't want to be labeled either as an African-American writer or as someone who only writes about the South. Still, he understands the importance of where he comes from. Edwards says his first novel, 10 Seconds, was a self-conscious examination of what he calls his Southernness. Set in a fictionalized version of Edwards' hometown, Lake Charles, 10 Seconds is a moving portrait of a young black man struggling to be a good husband and father in what he considers to be a suffocating working-class existence. Now Edwards says he's ready to break free from his explorations of home. His third novel is set in New York and is about Oscar Wilde's travels in the United States as told by his black valet.
This is not uncommon for my generation of Southerners at all. Moving from being strictly regional to being national. And maybe it's part of the evolution of America. And not necessarily that we're giving up on the region, but there's a greater geography to be explored. And why not explore it?
Debbie Elliott, NPR News, New Orleans.
Our series on new Southern artists continues next week with a profile of South Carolina's George Singleton. He writes about obsessions, home improvement gone strangely awry, and love in all the odd places.